And we're live again. We're back and back with another episode of Loose Cannon. This week we're finally talking about the Collector's Edition lore book, and this one actually had a name. It's a etelogy. I meant to look that up. Etelogy.
Oh,
Etelogy.
yeah. Entelechy or Entelechy, I guess it
Entelechy.
depends on,
Yeah,
depends on how you
it's
want to pronounce.
Entelechy. Yeah. The supposed vital principle that guides the development and functioning of an organism or other system or organization.
Right.
The soul. That's an interesting definition.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love how Bungie, or the writers, say Bungie, the writers, I love how the writers come up with great words to kind of give you like an overview of what's going on. I don't know if they like start with that or if they just write all this and then they go back and go, what's a good word that would summarize all this?
Yeah, because so I finished reading. I read some of this lore book, as you know, just for our listeners. I read some of this lore book a few weeks ago, when it was leaked. Well, not leaked, when someone got it exceptionally early and they just posted it online. And then I was like, all right, I'm gonna wait until mine comes. And so I actually just finished reading the rest of it today. So it's like fresh in my head. I like to have things fresh in my head when I'm reading, when we're doing shows like this. And this book is very much meant to kind of show, like, I guess the soul of the witness, right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. We all know at this point that the soul is, of the witness is basically comprised of all of the people that the traveler was or blessed first, I guess, in our timeline of events. So they're known as the precursors, and then they end up becoming the witness. So when you got that cutscene in game where it shows all of the people that weren't satisfied with their position and needed more mo knowledge about the universe because it wasn't enough. Or whatever, and then they all just were sucked up into one being, which became the witness, and that's they just went on their endeavor to follow the traveler,
Yeah.
to, yeah, and so,
And you know,
yeah,
I'm actually
that's
just
basically the
noticing.
cliff notes.
Yeah. And I'm actually just noticing for the first time looking at this, the very first page that says Entelechy has this like diagram symbol of a sphere. And it could be said to be an eye, but it also I could see the argument being like this is like the traveler as well, which is interesting because the traveler doesn't really have much of a presence in this book.
Right. Kind of like how they explained in the cutscene how the traveler just showed up one day,
Yeah. I
and
was
then they just were like, "Oh, great! There's this big sphere that gives us all this wonderful life."
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so is this lore book good? Find out tonight, news at 11. So let's now
Okay.
that we got everybody hooked, let's go through our usual opening stuff. So it's been a bit.
Yeah,
How have you
it's been a
been?
minute. Good. I've been busy, but good. I'm finally wrapped up with some big projects, so I got a little bit of time to spare in between. How about
Yeah.
you?
I'm good as well. I've mentioned in our DMs, I mentioned that work was like really stressing me out, and it was like all the free time I had, I was using to like spend with my wife, and I wasn't really getting into this stuff. But now that should be kind of alleviating. That should be kind of be good, and I should be back on my normal schedule. So I'm
Yeah.
very excited for that, for all that nonsense to calm down.
Well, it's good timing.
Yeah. Because and so like that's something I was gonna ask. When is Final Shape coming out? Because now I don't even know. Is it April?
My son asked me yesterday. He goes, "Hey, Dad, when's the final shape?" And I said, "Well, I guess technically not for a while, but the next season starts Tuesday."
Yeah,
So I
Into
was
the
like,
Light starts, right? I didn't watch any of those streams. Did you watch any of those?
Oh yeah, they were great. Basically, we're getting we're getting a first person tower defense mode,
Wait,
which
no,
is,
really?
yeah. Well, I guess it's kind of like
Or is it
it's
like a
kind of
horde
like,
defense? Because that's a very different
yeah. It's
thing.
a
Okay.
horde defense. It's a horde defense.
You
But
want to know
you set
something?
up,
Oh, go.
you set up turrets and you set up some stuff, and then you have it all culminates to a battle where you get teleported to different places where you kill a boss. Do you remember when we did the it reminded me
Sundial.
of when we, yeah, sort of, but
Oh,
not.
all
It's like
right.
that on steroids.
Yeah.
Well, also remember when we did the thing in the forest, the infinite forest?
The haunted forest.
Yeah, so you went down and down and down, and then you got teleported to a room where you shoot a boss. Yeah, well, this is like you're in the city or whatever location, and you're fighting all these hordes of enemies, and then when you get so far, you get teleported to a pyramid ship, and you have to shoot a boss. So it's pretty cool.
It's
The
very
lore
funny that that's
explanations are kind of weird.
it's very funny that that's what we're doing because and people who have like young kids, go ahead and tell them this. That's what Fortnite was when it first came
Do
out. It was
really?
a Horde Defender game. And it was like
No.
you'd build your fort. That was the building. You'd build your fort and you'd defend against waves of enemies that would come to try to destroy your fort. And you'd like set up turrets and you'd have all your guns and stuff. And it wasn't that well liked. Like it had like a cult following and people were like double down on it. We want to see more PvE. And then they did their BR and Battle Royale and that blew up and they were like, we're not going back to that.
Oh, I didn't. I had no idea.
Yeah, I remember I was following Fortnite for like a year before it came out because I was really big on those games back then and I was like, oh, this is gonna be
Yeah.
fucking awesome. And then yeah. Here we are. Your kids won't fucking believe it.
That's weird.
Right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. There's a decent chance I'm making that up.
Yeah, it sounds like you are.
I never played the PvE Fortnite, so I could be wrong, but I remember like when I was
Yeah.
like reading Game Informers, that's what they were saying it was gonna be.
Well, remember, I mean, anything's possible because, like, remember Destiny originally was supposed to be on rails, and then it became this open world slash, what did they call it originally? They were like, well, it's MMO slash,
Oh yeah.
yeah,
They didn't want to
RP.
call it an they didn't want to call it an MMORPG show, so they called it like a shared world shooter.
Yeah. They didn't have a word for it back then.
Yeah, and I understand because like MMOs back then were like really like we're done with that. No one wants those anymore. They're garbage. And Bungie
Yeah.
had to like
Yeah.
pivot. We're not an MMO, we promise. Which was funny because you had Bungie saying we're not an MMO, we promise. And then you had MMO fans going, they're not a fucking MMO. There's not enough people in there to be an
Yeah.
MMO. So like both sides were going, we're not an MMO.
Yeah. And then they were like, we're still a first person shooter. And they're like, no, you're not. All the FPS fans were like, no, you're not. You've added all this crap to the game. And so like you had the War of Two Worlds, like both denying that the game was one or the other. But then at the same
Yeah.
point, like, what the hell was it originally? And so it's cool because if you think about it, Destiny, I like to say this all the time. Destiny is like the snowplow that paved the way for a lot of other games to follow and what not to do, you know? Like they were there
And then people
dealing
still
with
did
this
what
stuff.
not to do.
Yeah, they did. You know, it's weird because like from a marketing standpoint, you know, like you said, like you pointed out Fortnite, they really just honed in on what worked and then like they make tons of money off of that. And what really have they put into the game other than, you know, aesthetics, right? Like how it looks, what skins you get, the maps and stuff like that. I mean, and at the end of the day, Fortnite is always the same thing. And it's kind of sad too because like Halo went that way as well a little bit. But they had a story, like they had a story, and they had a, PvE and all that. But once you play that, it's really just multiplayer. And then, yeah, and then you
That's
have
how
other
COD
games
was
that
for
are
me.
just,
I didn't play the
yeah, there you go. COD,
campaign.
same thing. Same thing. And then like, and then there's other sides of the spectrum, like Overwatch, which is strictly just straight up PvP multiplayer, for the most part, it's all it is. And they make an insane amount of money. So from a marketing standpoint, all these businesses, they don't see the benefit of adding all of this extra stuff that takes all this time and requires all these writers and all these builders and artists and stuff like that, when they can make tons of money off of just a PvP game, or or just like this one thing, right? So I get it. But I'm glad Destiny exists, because they also proved a point. Like, this is something that can happen and create an insane fan following that will last for years. I just The only bad thing is like, does it alienate a lot of new people? Maybe. Anyway, so the PvP mode will be a great addition, because
I'm sure it'll be fun.
There's new maps too for the other PvP stuff.
Oh, cool. So maybe you know this. Are they resetting the seasonal track, or is it just because you jokingly called it a new season? Is it a new season, or is it just bonus content? Because I haven't finished my seasonal track, and I'll be a little bummed if it
I
goes
don't
away.
know. I don't know, because I haven't gotten a clear answer. But on the face of it, it seems like that's what
Like
it
they're going
is.
to refresh the track and be like, here's a new set of armor, rank
Well,
100
yeah,
to earn.
and then I keep hearing murmurs of it being like, compared to like map packs now. So like, we have these, because we're eventually going to get those seasonal, not going to get seasonal content. So we're going to get the new thing where, they add all this crap. So like, you have to buy
Seasonal
X
tracks
to
just
enjoy
shouldn't go
it.
away. They should just always be there for you to grind. And it's like, well, I didn't really play this season, but I'm playing a lot this
That's how
season, so I can do
Halo
two.
is. That's how Halo is. So if you didn't do all of the previous seasons, like all the seasons that ever were in Halo are available for you to just switch over to and get progress in. So like, if you didn't play Halo on day one, and all the free things that would have come from playing, you can just switch over to that track. So they call it a switcher. So you just literally switch over to the different season and just play it until you've progressed, and then come back to the new stuff if you want to.
Yeah, that's how I played other games that were like that. And because of that, they also just had they'd be like, here's our main season track, and then here's some like paid exclusive tracks for like special sets of armor. And it's kind of like instead of like the Ghostbusters, did Ghostbusters have an armor set? What was the most recent crossover that had armor? Like
That was the Mass Effect.
Mass Effect, thank you. Instead of just buying your Mass Effect armor, it would be a whole track, and it would be like, here's just to put it in terms of Destiny, here's some glimmer, here's the fucking, I'm sorry, I don't know the words anymore. Here's your upgrade materials, here's that special thing you use to like get frames, get like free frames on weapons, and you can only hold one at a time or something like that. And you'd have all those, and then you would also be like, here's your Mass Effect boots, here's your Mass Effect chest, here's your Mass Effect helmet, here's also a weapon skin to go with your Mass Effect armor, here's your Sparrow, here's your Ghost. And it'd be like, so you pay the money for it, but you don't just get it. You have to actually physically play the track.
Play for it. Yeah, exactly.
And it kind of gives you like more reason to grind. And I think that's a good system. I'd really like to see that in Destiny. Although I do say that as someone who hasn't really played, but I can only imagine someone who plays a lot would love to have something other than I've reached rank 1,000 this season. Like, they'd love to have some extra stuff to get. And some extra ascendant materials to get. In
Well,
any
they kind of
case.
did that. They kind of did that, with the seasonal models in Destiny. It's just that, like you said, like you pointed out, you just couldn't go back and do other things that were previously in the game, or it wasn't like very clear, I guess, was the thing. But
Well.
I don't know. This will be interesting because this is the first time we've experienced anything like this. I know that. So the three, it's the Horde mode is called Onslaught.
Okay.
I had to look it up to remember the name. But that's a part of it. And then like there's the new maps, and then there's a new social space, which is not the tower. It's
How
the
is it
Hall
not
of
the
Champions.
tower? Oh, okay.
It well, yeah, so it's the Hall of Champions, but like it's in the back of the tower.
So
And
it's
then
kind of just like a second helm. It's
yeah.
here's your social
Yeah.
space to go get
Yeah.
your missions and bounties and stuff.
Yeah. And
Okay.
Shax is in control of everything. And then so they're gonna bring back all the exotic missions. They're gonna start off with the Whisper and Zero Hour. And then the really coolest thing that was revealed this last week was Pantheon, which is a weekly rotating raid boss gauntlet.
Ooh.
So they're going to have another raid race with a belt involved. So that a lot of people are getting hyped up for that, as they
That's
should,
really cool.
because
Yeah, I won't be like joining on that, but I absolutely will watch that 'cause I'm sure there's going to be people streaming it, so that'll be really cool to see.
Because anything related to raids first, world's first, anything like that, that's always just a big hype moment for Destiny, and it's a big way for them to kind of, gain popularity again. So that'll be nice. And then
Well,
of course, you get to change your face if you don't like it now.
yeah, I heard about
So
that. That's funny. That's really funny. But in any
That's pretty much
case,
it.
yeah,
Yeah.
so we got a lot to look forward to. And speaking of things to look forward to, how about we get into the lore card this week? So brought to you from the Destiny Armory Defined, our weekly lore card.
You got it. When we talk about Vex, the Vex are they've always been that the most like. Well, outside of just what the hell is a Cabal, for me, they've always been like, what the hell is a Vex? Like, what is the origin point of a Vex, right? And so we talked about it over and over and over again, but there's a lot of people that are still new to this, and then there's a lot of people that have been around forever but never really fully understood like why the Vex milk, what is what we call it, why is it called Radiolaria. And so I wanted to kind of like bring this back to the front of everything because it came up again, which is kind of cool. So Radiolaria is it's in the game and it's a part of what makes the Vex. So the soupy Vex milk is comprised of the mind fluid, which is what contains particles of the Vex, is how they put it. And so the lore card, or the lore entry, or the lore item, sorry, it specifically points out particles of Vex mind fluid, potentially a source of insight into the Vex threat for your Vanguard mentor to study. But the most important part of that sentence is particles of Vex mind fluid. So let's get into that. When they explain it in the lore, they're not saying that they are in fact Radiolaria, what we know as, like what is real. It is what they can, that's the closest they can get to explaining what Radiolaria is, so they just call it Radiolaria, right? So in the real world right now, if you went to the ocean and you went and got Radiolaria, they are microscopic single-celled marine organisms that produce intricate mineral skeletons made of silica. They're known for their diverse and elaborate skeletal structures, which can exhibit stunning geometric patterns and shapes. And so there, right then and there, is kind of like a summary of visually and aesthetically what the Vex mind fluid must look like under a microscope, if you will, I guess. Because it, what are the Vex known for? They're known for creating, delicate, intricate structures. You see the what do they call it? The data lattice type of structures. I call them the Doozer structures because they look like something that would have been in Fraggle Rock. They're made of like glass and they're little sticks and they're just ladders of intricate geometric structures that they use to teleport and feed, I guess, information or whatever back to the mind that is the Vex. So we also know that the Vex kind of like split off into different consciousnesses, or if you will, different minds groups that all kind of. They're from the same origin point, but they kind of fractal off and become their own thing. And that's probably because there was a severance at some point, or they exist in a different, somewhen. And so they had to kind of like collectively build their own mind architecture, but they're all from the same place. So when we think of Vex, we think of them all sharing the same mind fluid, and they can exchange information as well as their own whatever back and forth, as long as there's a conduit or a connective point, like we learned about in the Vault of Glass. So, to keep it short, the discovery of radiolaria in the real world dates back to the 18th century when naturalists and scientists began to observe and document these tiny marine organisms. One of the most notable figures in the study of radiolaria was German biologist Ernest Haeckel, who in 19th century extensively researched and illustrated various species of radiolaria in his famous work, Art Forms of Nature. So this book, you can go online and look at this book. It's really cool. There's a lot of really pretty pictures and diagrams that they drew. To kind of illustrate what the heck a radiolaria looks like. And so there's a bunch of different like sub species of radiolaria, but they're all considered of the same type of thing, living organism. Haeckel's detailed illustrations not only showcase the beauty and complexity of radiolaria skeletons, but also aided in the classification and understanding of these organisms. So some of the pictures I used were just kind of showing what the radiolaria look like in their little shapes and whatnot. Some of them look like engrams. Some of them look like just spiky little crazy living bugs. Some of them look like spheres with, lattice work that has little points on it and stuff. And so, they're kind of like snowflakes. They come in a ton of different shapes and sizes and whatnot. But at some point, all of them get classified because there are this shape of radiolaria, and then there's this shape of radiolaria, and so on and so forth. And so, over time, when we had advancements in microscopy and scientific techniques, this allowed the researchers to further explore this world of radiolaria, and it kind of revealed their importance in marine ecosystems and paleontological. Sorry, I'm going to screw that up. Paleontological studies. I can't
Ontological.
speak. Thank you. What does that mean? So, when paleontologists go to analyze fossils and organisms, these structures, these radiolarian structures, were found all over the place, and so it helped to build like a time of events. It also helped to illustrate what was living at that time, what was threatening at that time, what caused this extinction event at that time. Because a lot of fossil records are kept after extinction events. You've got these aeons in the crust of the earth that kind of show like a timeline of events of what was here before humans were, blah blah blah. And so radiolaria were there back then too. So they're kind of neat in that regard because they've been around forever. Another thing about radiolaria is they kind of give you like an intriguing subject of study. one of the things that happens is in the marine food web, they serve as both predators and prey for various organisms. So it's kind of neat that they're wrestling with this kind of like dichotomy that the radiolaria are both predator and prey within the food ecosystem of the ocean. So if you think about the ocean as this massive, salty, environment for thousands and millions of organisms and whatnot, all living out there in this delicate balance, it's really interesting to see how important radiolaria are and what they do, because down on the very microscopic levels of life out in the ocean, these things are, hunting and being eaten and consumed, and it's just this soupy mix of life that's out there. So, as far as the exploration of radiolaria fossils go, in it came kind of explain the ancient times and show like the valuable insights into past climates or geological history, and they can kind of tell us what the environment was like way back in time, depending on which radiolarian fossils were left. And so that's kind of where they're really important today. Some of them look strikingly geometric in shapes, but what I found particularly interesting, and this was back in D1, radiolaria are comprised of silica. Silica is one of the fundamental elements of making glass. And so when you think about the Vex and you think about the vault of glass, it
And you
starts to kind of make sense what they were picking up on. It's just, I wouldn't go as far as to say that the Vex are the radiolaria you find in the ocean and they somehow became sentient beings. I would just say that as far as Destiny's lore is concerned, we call them radiolaria because they share so many physical attributes and chemical compositions of what we found in nature, which is the actual radiolaria. So that's kind of like just a thing to my knowledge, until somebody says otherwise. That's just kind of how it's been explained in the lore over years and years. Like, we're almost 10 years in this game, and that's where it's kind of gotten to. That's the furthest
Oh
we've
my
gotten
God.
to knowing about the Vex, but
Sorry. 'Cause you mentioned the glass thing, and I thought you were throwing it to this book that we're about to read, where in pages 6 to 13, we have a conversation between HNW and RS, as they're called for shorthand. And RS talks about the glass mines, and they say, we have made improvements. The glass mines trim the excess branches. What we see now are the strongest paths, and in the seeing, they become true. And Ido makes the note, I forgot to blue that. Ido makes the note of glass mines being. From the context as sort of computational assistant, there appears to be some etymological overlap with the names of Vex mines, something to investigate later, perhaps.
So that's why I brought it up this week, because of the collector's edition, because of that particular line. So we're going to get into it. Maybe we won't like read verbatim everything that's in the thing, but
No, I
we
don't
can
think
just
so.
go over it. Yeah, we can just go over it. So
But yeah, so that before the show started, I had mentioned, and this isn't in the notes, so I actually have to go to the other page. I mentioned my confusion about one of the final pages that we have. How should we talk about this? Because we're not going to read it. Do you want to like work our way down and just kind of talk about what we think, or
I like that idea. Yeah, let's do that.
So yeah, we'll keep everything in a keep everything in a line. So if you have the lore book and you want to like open it up and kind of follow along, you can do that. If you know at Bungie Leaks on Twitter, or at Bungie_leaks on Twitter. They are the one that collected the screen the scans of it, as they call it, screenshots of all the pages. Scans is a technically accurate statement, but in my experience, when you call in terms of a book a scan, it is a scan of the individual page or pages and not the excess surrounding. So this isn't really a scan, it's just a picture. But I'm just being I'm just splitting hairs at that point. Okay, so let's start with this first page. It's not really a part of anything, but it says the word IntelliKey, and it has that diagram of a circle. Let me put that on screen. So it's on screen now. What do you think that could be the traveler? I don't know if I believe that to be the traveler or not.
I don't know because, like there's the whole veil out there too. So like, I mean, there's the traveler and their veil, and I don't think they really look like it looks like either one of them, but then again, I can see like why it would have some familiarity to both of them, just because you have a circle within another circle, and then it's kind of like this,
So I can't exactly think, unless they really want to get, and I'll get into this, unless they really want to get into some timeline shenanigans, I cannot see that being the Traveler. So moving on to the first bit of pages, we have some files retrieved from Wintership Simic's Fell. So Wintership is an important, I believe, an important note here, because later on there's also a note from this trail of data crumbs led me to a data bank retrieved from a rain ship originally downed on Mercury. So the House of Rain on Mercury, one that we don't see anymore. I always find it like really interesting
The
when we
Fallen are so cool because they had this massive long history with the Traveler before we ever met them and or encountered them, violently. But so just a summary real quick, when we get the collector's edition, it's basically a gift from Ido, and she's like our scribe now. She's like the one, she's like the new librarian that's collecting all the data and information on the things that we don't know about. And the really coolest thing is she's Elixni, so she can fall back on data records that were from her timeline of events of her people that were there before her, because she didn't exist back then, but she obviously has access to all of this data and records and these ships that were broken down or fallen or whatever, all of these things. And so she's trying to decode it all and, go hacker mode and figure out, wait a minute, there's got to be some buried information about our newest threat in the soul system, which is the witness. We got to figure out what this is so we can, blah blah blah, right? So anyway, she's really cool because she's helped us so much, and so this was her gift. And so that's why you got the little mini tower, and inside you got the book that opens up with all the pictures and photographs and like everybody's signatures, and just kind of saying, here you go, here's a bunch of stuff I found for you, and by the way, we love you, and
And that's a really good thing for you to say, that it's her. So, because what I was just saying could have been a little misleading. Just because this was retrieved from a winter ship doesn't mean that like everything that this is going into is personal Elixni experience. This is just a data file that they have been holding on to for who knows how long and who knows where they got it from. But between us and Ido, it came from Wintership.
And that's important to point out because Destiny is a game of character perspective. So all the lore we have comes from different views of the character perspective in game. And so, at the time when they had all this stuff before the pyramid ship showed up, they probably didn't know what to do with it and didn't really understand what it meant. And so like they just file it away for a later date, right? And so Ido's here uncovering all this stuff now with new information to try to help, this new threat that we've got.
Yeah. And so I feel like it'd be better just to jump a little bit ahead and say this first entry is being written, sent, however it's sent. Actually, I'm pretty sure it's like kind of like a mind scan send based on some of the syntax that gets used. And so specifically, it is being sent from. Oh, that doesn't make sense. I'm
Oh,
so
like how we got,
confused.
like how they got it.
No, not that. There's so many like little things that I'm like really confused about with this because I start to go one way and then I read something else and I go another way. Okay,
Well,
so
I guess the thing is, it's like not super important. But I guess the thing to note is that, there are letters and numbers which kind of help explain like who's talking and what's talking. But outside of that, we don't know the specific relevance yet of the letters and numbers being used.
Yeah, so but so
Yeah.
we have this first entry here, which is signed off at the end, HNW, and that's what they're called for the shorthand. It's but it's
Yeah.
the full sequence is HNW 047622. And so IDO specifically calls them out as an identification code associated with this individual need to cross-reference. And so HNW and RS are our two main characters in this in Italki.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's
And
how it goes.
so when you were talking about when you brought it to silicon glass radiolaria, I was like, oh, I know that RS mentioned glass mines. And so like they're all, we have made improvements to glass. I already said this. The glass mines trim the excess branches, blah, blah, blah. And so it really sounds like these people, RS specifically, was involved with the creation of the Vex.
Yes.
And
Yes. Well,
that's,
yeah.
would
So
you agree with
like
that?
there's a little bit of unknown with that, but yes,
But.
mainly that is the belief that they specifically were involved in the Vex creation, and it was a way to kind of like trim a future branch that they could, because everything this gets really heady, but like the Vex want a perfect future where, everything is perfect, and their idea of perfect is, whatever it is. And so we know that the witness is kind of doing the same thing. They want a final shape. They want a perfect end result to all of this that existence is. And so the Vex were kind of like a component in that, because at the time, these people, before they became the witness, were all wrestling and trying to understand how do we get to that perfect point, right? And so this is kind of diving into the nuances of that. And RS and HNW had opposing views on how to achieve that, but the Vex were a direct result of their manipulating of things to try to come up with a foreseeable future that was ideal for them. Let's just say that. Yeah, it's really crazy, because to think that the Vex were a byproduct of these, they're called precursors, by the way, is really crazy. But it's important for that. But yeah.
But so just to voice my confusion. So this first entry here is sent from HNW to RS, and like right at the start, it's like I have arrived at the garden to be find barren rock as lifeless as the expanse about it. Just as the survey said, it's perfect. Rather, it will be perfect. The moment I laid eyes on the allotted system, I knew my initial plans had to go. How inelegant they were, those drafts drawn up in smiling ignorance. Only experience could have cured me of such short-sightedness. And then, so here's the important bit. Yes, now I can see the path to the summit pyramidian final shape. And so it's in brackets, summit pyramidian final shape. And that syntax is specifically meant to kind of convey that there's like no perfect word for what they're saying. It's kind of like a flash of emotions and ideas kind of jumbled together. And
Yeah,
so
I
Pyramidion
like that. That's really good.
is Vex and Final Shape. For the Pyramidion, a Vex structure to be tied so closely to the Final Shape is interesting right off the bat. And then it goes on here, the Matreta blade leaves, there the green glass is body blossoms arcing overhead. I have brought enough progenitor material to seed 100 worlds, never mind 5. In time, there will be a grand harvest of panacea from this garden. I'm sure both you and your, and then here's another one, merciful penitent benefic will be pleased. And so this is where, and I know we said that we'd go in a line, but this is where I'm confused. So
That's okay. That
HNW is saying to RS, your merciful penitent benefic, but later on, HNW claims ownership or attendance of the
Yes.
penitent.
So they're the factions. All the factions involved of the
But I mean,
precursors were.
are they different factions? Because it sounds like they're one
Because they
cohesive
aren't
unit.
now, so they aren't now. So it's kind of like explaining that this revelation at the very beginning of this paragraph is saying that I see the path forward, which is, to get everybody on the same page, whether they want to or not. This is the way forward. How could I have been so dumb before,
Okay, but so
short-sighted?
HNW is saying, I'm making this garden. I'm doing this Vex stuff, right? And then
And I'm going to
says,
suck you all in.
and I don't care about your. Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
And
there you go.
so HNW is saying, I'm going to prove to
Yeah.
you that I'm right. Okay.
So
Because.
it's enigmatic at first on purpose because it's meant to make you go, what the fuck and who are these people? Because later on you discover, oh, that's what he meant at the beginning. You
Yeah,
see?
because it's later on that they go, my friend, the consensus has won. Yesterday, the
Yeah.
penitent voted aye. The nihilist and
Yeah.
solipsist have been destroyed.
Right.
So
So
this is
there's
once
so
again
there's
HNW to RS.
exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
There you go. You got it.
Okay. I need a. This book is intense because it's got like a lot of the HNW RS stuff goes kind of back and forth.
Yeah, it does. Well, they're kind of like arguing two points of view. So, just to really kind of quickly illustrate, the Merciful, Penitent, and Benefic are the different factions that are named of the precursors. So the precursors are just this like it's this civilization of people. There are tons of them everywhere, right? But there's these main factions that arose in kind of like pursuit of knowledge, right? To pursuit of why do we exist? What are we here for? What do we need to do? What was this power for? What do we need to use it for? All of the questions that you get when you're suddenly gifted the presence of the traveler's influence, which allows you to have this perfect society and all this stuff, right? But it's never enough for living things to be satisfied, right? Because what is the point, right? Everybody has to know what is the point. So that pursuit of knowledge is really kind of key in this whole lore exploration because it's that insatiable hunger. I say it all the time. It's that insatiable hunger to know the unknown, and so that always leads to something, and whether it be good or bad, or however you want to moralistically tie it to things, there's always going to be, what creates evolution, what creates change, what creates, all this stuff. And so, as a society, the precursors were kind of like living in this great awesomeness, right, that they had by the blessing of the traveler, but out of that rose these different factions of different belief systems. And so, like what you said, the solipsist obviously believed in this is all for them. This is a central point of experience. So implies the name solipsism because that's basically saying that everything that's happening to you is for you. Like the whole of existence, your existence, everything that you're experiencing in life is gifted for you, and everything around you is just reflections. So that's one viewpoint. But then you have the nihilist, and the nihilists basically say we're ultimately doomed. And I don't want to say doom, because that's like a bad word to say. But nihilism is the viewpoint that we don't need to know everything. Eventually, all of this is going to go away. You might
Okay,
as well
there you go.
enjoy what you have
I was
while
gonna
it's here.
say, buddy, you're not,
Yeah.
no, we're not doomed. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter.
yeah. But like, oh,
But
we're doing science.
H&W.
We have this like this grand calling to, as H and W seems to believe, this grand
Yeah.
calling to uplift species and
Yeah.
pursue the final shape. And the nihilists are like, no, we don't.
Yeah, see, there you
Fuck
go.
off. No, we
And
don't.
so
We don't have anything.
there's the rub, because the solipsist, which believe in like the
Yeah. That's
penitent,
interesting. That's it. Yeah, that's an
yeah.
interesting take on their name,
And then,
because the solipsists probably believed all of this is only for us. We are the chosen.
yeah.
We are the real. We are
So
the actual.
exactly. So we
Okay.
need to be penitent for the gift that we have. And then the benefics are nihilist, because they're like, well, it doesn't matter. And so they go off and be their own people, the
Well, no, the
nihilists, right?
solipsists can't be the penitent. They have to be the merciful, right? Penitent?
The merciful is H&W, because he thinks the merciful thing to do is end all the suffering.
But H and W is not a part of the merciful, benefit, penitent, or benefic.
Right, but they all end up being the penitent, because the penitent is basically, we've got to stop everything.
But H and W
So,
wins, doesn't, don't they? Or do they
yes, they
accept
do.
that they lose? Okay, but
No,
then.
they do. You're right. You're right. Yeah. So I got that
And
backwards.
see, that's why I'm confused, because I don't think H and W is a part of the merciful, penitent, or benefic, but I do understand how you could see. Well, I don't know what benefic means.
Well, yeah, benefic is aligned with the like the nihilism, because they're kind of like let me just let's search that real quick. So benefic, because I don't want to get it right. I don't want to get it wrong.
Helpful, useful, or good. Yeah, no, see, I think I was right about that. These aren't three different factions. These are three words that say the same thing. The merciful, penitent, benefic.
Right, but they're the viewpoints of that the three factions have ascribed.
You think the solipsists are merciful or benefic?
Yeah, maybe that's how that goes. Yeah, I mean, that could be it.
No, because I'm pretty sure this word mash here, because then later again, Ido says it. This group appears to be the same as the merciful, penitent, benefic. This group, not groups, mentioned in the previous entry. There is no usage of ternary semantic clusters whatsoever throughout the text. To me, to describe like. They had like a grand idea and it got refined.
Oh,
So it was like,
okay.
we are
Yeah.
the merciful, penitent, benefic. And then it just
Okay.
kind of
So like
locked
it's a
in.
consensus. So it's a
Yeah.
consensus of thoughts from the factions.
However, there also was, there's the penitent, there was also the solipsist and the nihilist and potentially others who were a part of the
Okay.
consensus, as was. So actually, I wonder what HMW would be.
Well, they end up being penitent.
Well, I mean,
Yeah.
everyone ends up being penitent. Penitent wins.
But the reason why they win and they do that is because of H&W.
Yeah.
So yeah, so this is important, because like I would never have thought of that. That makes more sense now.
And also, just really quick, because you've been calling them precursors, and I love that. I think that's how we should refer to them. That's not
Yeah.
like an official species name. That's Ido's calling them the witnesses' precursors, and calling them
Yeah.
precursors for short is perfect. Because I didn't know
Yeah,
what the fuck to call them. It was such a like Oh.
Yeah. Well, it's very Halo-esque because in Halo we have the Forerunners,
Yeah. But yeah,
which are
so
the
exactly.
precursors.
Kind of like the Fallen aren't the Elixni, but we call them the Fallen because we could tell that they were Fallen. These are the precursors. Good enough. Moving on. We don't need to know their actual name. They're the bad guys. Okay. See, I'm still a little confused.
It's okay. Like, we can figure it out. That's the whole point of this show.
I don't think we're gonna get too far in figuring it out. I gotta be honest.
Well, I don't think we're meant to get the entire, like, all of it down pat, right? Because at this point, like, who knows how much of this is enough, right?
Okay,
But
well, I don't.
the overall story is that there were the factions and there were the precursors, and H and W and RS are having this long discussion in this books that was retrieved by Ido, and she's kind of laid it all out. This is what I pulled up. This is what they were.
Okay. So H and W pens this letter, this mental letter to their friend RS. And they end it by saying, well, you'll just have to come. At this rate, it shouldn't take more than a few centuries before I have enough substrate to work with. And then, well, you'll just have to come and see the Summit Pyramid in final shape for yourself. And so that's another thing. Because it's like, did Final Shape, is that another one where it was like this grand concept that got refined to Final Shape? And is Final Shape still being refined? Because there's so many different ideas of what the Final Shape is. Although that's with the disciples. The Witness has probably refined Final Shape pretty set. For yourself, won't you? HNW 047622. And so the next entry is from the Winter Ship, Simic's Fell, and it's just a cargo manifest. Or it's retrieved from Winter Ship Simic's Fell, and it is HNW's cargo manifest. And so I think this is interesting though, because it talks about having preserved in resin, Asphodelia, stem cuttings, panacea, Verrute, whole leaf cuttings, soil enrichment, blah blah blah. His body, the oh, that's a typo right there. Fix that.
His body, root cuttings, panacea, fennel, bulbs, decorative. It's basically saying this Elixni stumbled upon, all these things that were held on a
Oh
ship,
no,
which.
this is the records of H&W's. This is what H&W brought to the world that would be a garden. But the thing I think is neat is that they were kind of preserving stuff in resin, which is what they really like get. They're like, wait a second, yeah, let's just do this to everything. So I
It's
just think it's like a
terraforming
fun,
stuff, terraforming ingredients.
I just think it's a little funny that they had that right there.
That is funny. Resin. I
And
use resin
then,
all the
yeah, you do. That's true.
time.
And then getting back to the real meat here is the communications log that was retrieved from the Rain Ship. And so once again, just because it was retrieved from the Rain Ship has nothing to do with Elixni. This is
Yeah, sorry. I
the
didn't mean to
back
do
and
that.
oh no, you didn't do anything. I'm just reiterating for anyone listening, because it can be a little confusing. And so this is the conversation from millennia ago between H and W and RS. And they start out by RS saying, we mustn't abandon the path to the final shape simply because it's difficult. And Ido notes, the final shape is no longer described with a ternary semantic cluster. So, like I said, they had that the final shape premier, summit pyramidian final shape, and they locked in on what the final shape was. So between entry one and entry three, we now have the final shape is like fully understood.
Well, it's cool because, like, before we get to that page, it kind of illustrates some of the things that were captured in resin, and like little pictures and stuff. And so it kind of gives you like a mental or a visual cue as to, through their terraforming and capturing of biological life and preserving in resin and all of this stuff, they kind of came to this idea that, oh, this is the final shape. So it's kind of weird how they mapped into that thought process. And so if you think about it, like, what is the witness doing, aboard some of the ships that we've seen are preserved races, alien races. Even the Cabal ship had tons of Cabal, right? Stuck in like preserved structures. It's so hard to definitively call anything anything, right? But we also have lore notes from the wit or the Drifter even stumbling upon a ship with, caged creatures or preserved creatures, So like these things keep popping up. And then we know that the witness himself or itself loves to encapsulate things that he finds or alien species and slice them up and preserve them in stone and calcify things, blah, blah, blah.
And so that is what the final shape ultimately is. It's a calcification of the world or of the universe.
Universe, yeah.
It wants to, and they actually have an example. Maybe we should we just jump to that example really quick?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, let me find it because I know, or I thought I got it into the notes here. Okay, yep, there it is. So there was a species known as the is it the Noesis? How would you pronounce that? Noesis?
I thought it was
Noesis?
Noesis.
Noesis? Okay. So from the pages 14 to 18, we have an emergency transmission. This is one that Spider collected. He like the transmission happened millennia ago, and then just Spider was able to collect this annotated transcription, which was just floating around in space somewhere. And so it talks about this species known as the Noesis, who comes in contact with, and so they actually have a similar thing because they're so I almost thought that they were scions at first with how they talk about their what do they call it, the noosphere webbing, where they use a mathematical symbol that means intersection. And so basically it's the same thing as previously, but instead of it being like a grand concept, it is another like mental image of like it's multiple things at once. So they say like I learned of its archival scarcely 3 marks ago as my anchor slumbered in the belly of this ancient outpost. I drifted into the new sphere intersection webbing. And so I don't think you're meant to say intersection or intersect webbing. It's like the new sphere webbing. It's kind of like put these two words together and kind of feel out what those two words together would mean. And then there's others where it's like a spark and dry brush interaction, ink and water interaction or intersection, hope curdling in an instant. And it's like we don't have a single word to convey what this means. So we kind of smush together a few words into a new meaning.
Right on.
And so they call the witness first contact with a stranger friend to be. But then it says, it had been so long since we encountered the whisper nightmare predatory memeplex. So like that's one thing. And basically what happens is the witness is coming in here and is slowly like not killing, but almost like euthanizing, peacefully euthanizing an entire species. And everyone's screaming, "Help me, help me, help me." So it reads like, "Help me, my people died in their thousands, thoughts and selves wisping away into nothingness, thousands of years of memory no more than smoke in the wind. Help me, here in this outpost, I am here apart from the rest, tethered to the trailing edge, furthest from its lamprey maw, not far enough to escape, not near enough to help. Help me, a thousand emanations from a thousand minds blending into a single scream, the same scream every time, again and again and again and again. When we untethered ourselves from their anchors, we knew that we as a people would not be divided again, no matter how far we traveled in real space. The vastness of our new sphere webbing home was but a thought way. Our fears, our hopes, our dreams, our longings, our triumphs, we could always be able to reach out and know one another. Where one was weak, another could be strong. Where one we would share each other's joy and bear each other's pain. But that sound, help me. I am ashamed to admit I could not bear it a moment longer. I severed, exiled, imprisoned myself. So, like, one word. I regretted it the moment I did. We were dying, but we were dying together. My unimaginable cowardice will not assure my survival, only delay in my execution. The ruined predatory memeplex witness, so they gave it the name Witness, knows the pattern of our oscillations. I can hear it still plucking the tattered edges of the new sphere webbing. And so Ida believes this is the witness speaking to them, and it goes, why do you hide? The witness will find me. When it does, there will be nothing, no one. I believed I would die alone in this abandoned outpost, but I found a crate forgotten deep within the dusty storeroom. Emergency beacons produced and stored in another time, one when we knew the fear of death. We see you. To you, receiver, inheritor, hoped for a future, I offer what little I know. We are dead, but we are not unmade. We are ossified, temporized, reiterated, perpetuated, anatomized, finalized. And so, like, that's the thing right there. You needed seven words, 8 words to call what the final shape truly is.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know,
This is.
it makes you go, you know, it makes you go back to other things in game that we've experienced that were ossified, calcified, stone-like, and
Yeah.
you know, you kind of wonder if all of those things that existed before our knowledge of the witness and the pyramid ships, our race, whatever, if all of that was a result of the collapse, or part of it, you know, like the whole damn planet of or say planet, you know, Io. Just there's so much structure on that planet that looks so much like what the witness is wanting to do too.
Yeah.
So,
And
you know.
so the final shape has been locked in. And to go all the way back up to the pages 6 to 13, that communications log, that's why we have it now as final shape, not as Summit Pyramidian final shape. So it sounds like they might have experimented with the Vex, but they dropped the Vex as well. They were like, maybe we don't need the Vex to be the final shape anymore, which is really interesting when you think about what was it, the unveiling where the witness told us the story about the garden, how there was the winnower and the gardener and stuff, and when they flipped the table, the worms fell out of the garden and stuff, and they were like big fans of the Vex. He kept mentioning how they were like big fans of the Vex, and the Vex were really good ones. And it sounds like because the precursors actually created the Vex as a potential pathway to achieve the final shape, but it didn't make it to the end. You know, they didn't put all their eggs in one basket. The Vex was just one.
That's a really good way to look at it. Just one of the many tries. And you know, it's like, you know, you're gonna throw out different soldiers to try to you know, make that happen for you. So I guess the Vex are one of them. It's just interesting to note because like what we know of the Vex and the Black Garden and their simulated idea of what they thought their purpose was going to be, which when they made the Black Heart, you know, they were trying to replicate technically, I guess, what was it, the Veil? Or they're just trying to, yeah. So when they made the Black Heart of the Garden, or no, they were trying to make their version of, I guess, the heart. Anyway, as crazy as that was.
So this conversation, RS is saying we mustn't abandon the final shape, and HMW is kind of taking this stance that we can coerce and to stop the needless violence. So they say a moment's coercion to prevent a millennia's suffering. We can see what will happen if we sit idly by, if we choose to do
Yeah.
nothing, and in our inaction allow this carnage to continue, then we are complicit. Thus, the ethical choice is to act. Or that was RS speaking.
So that's the key moment in time when these two are talking and they decide that the only practical thing to do is what they did. This is kind of how they get to that point.
And HNW replies, at what cost, with what means? What would you advocate for the use of violence? Will you approve the murder of those who disagree? Will you, in your merciful penitent benefic, cause lesser harm for greater good? And so that's why I'm confused, where HNW is once again calling RS out as saying, you're the one who's aligned with those the penitent benefic, or the penitent as it ultimately gets refined as. And RS says, no, never. The purpose and means are inescapable and inseparable. It is simple teleology. We are not advocating for needless cruelty. We are the countless methods of intervention at our disposal, with compassion as their guiding pillar. The transition uplifting enlightenment would be uncomfortable naturally, but the alternative is to sit idly by and watch the inevitable extinction of a species, an extinction we could prevent. If the final shape truly is the greatest good imaginable, then its rightness should be self-evident. It should be so clear to anyone and anything that comprehends it that we should never need to do more than share the information for them to reach the same conclusion. And this
Yeah,
is.
that's pretty interesting. It's kind of like it's kind of like loading up a child with all the information to destroy themselves, right? Because they know that if they get involved, there's so many like little parallelisms you could draw to it. It's kind of like going out in the wild and not intervening with, the wildlife, because anything you do will cause harm, right? But if you want a result, if you want a good result, or if you want your result to happen, you have to influence that nature in some way to get the result you want. And so that's kind of like their viewpoint on every living thing in the universe. In order to enact what we want, what we think is ideal, we need to load them up on with the information to basically annihilate themselves.
I just so when I was reading this, I'll bring it back to this. When I was reading this, I didn't at this point I wasn't under the knowledge that these were two precursors before the witness was created. I was kind of thinking, is this how the Traveler got created? Like I was on that
Oh,
train.
I
And
was
so
too
it
when I first read it.
yeah, and it's kind of polluted my way of thinking, where I even now I look at it and I'm like, and then this one becomes the Traveler? And it's like, no, they don't. The Traveler is already there. The Traveler has been there for millennia. And it keeps polluting my brain.
Well, so the HNW was trying to use what he f or what they thought was like the cool shit that the Traveler had.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm gonna do what the Traveler did, and maybe that's what we were supposed to be doing. And here's all this terraforming crap, and I look what I did, and look at these cool things I created and all this stuff. And then this is when the argument happens. It's like, wait a minute, what are you doing? That's not, wait, what? And so they're wrestling with the two different viewpoints, the main ones,
Yeah,
of what to do with all that.
because the way I'm reading this is RS, who is a member of the Penitent, wants to intercede on species who are going to face extinction, and accept that maybe you'll hurt 1,000, but you'll save 1,000,000,
Right.
because and they specifically say, or I was just there. If RS specifically says, if some suffering is inevitable, then surely it is better to seek the maximum good from it. And HNW replies, if the choice is between greater and lesser evils, then the choice itself is flawed. I refuse to participate. which is
The
like,
trolley problem. The
yeah,
trolley problem. Yep.
exactly. RS is saying, I will save the fewer, I will save the majority of people, even if it means I have to pull the
Yeah.
lever. And H&W is
Yeah.
like, I'm not taking part in this. That's
Right. That.
fantastic. Thank you for saying it like that.
Yeah, so that's exactly what's happening is they're wrestling with that whole you know that thought experiment, the
And
trolley,
actually,
yeah.
let me just read this next line because to that, to H&W saying, I refuse to participate, RS replies, I agree with you in theory, but we do not exist purely in the theoretical. Like, yeah, full stop. The trolley problem is such a fucking way to be like, I don't want to participate in that, but it's like, it's happening. You have to decide.
Yeah.
You are the one who can do it. What do you do?
Yeah. And so H&W takes it further and is
Yeah.
like, okay, here it is then.
Yeah, 'cause
If
like
I have no choice, then this is what we have to do.
Yeah, 'cause RS says it's happening right now everywhere we look. Come see me and I will show you the observatory's readings. Such sights as we have seen, my friend, make me sick to my soul. And H&W says, I thought the observatory could only see possibilities, the future branches of past visible lights. RS replies, and so here's one of my confusions. RS replies how they've been making improvements, the glass mines, the Vex, trim the excess branches. What we see now are the strongest paths, and in seeing, they become true, which is really an interesting way to
Yeah.
think about like how time works, where it's like,
Yeah.
can you predict the future? And it's like, yes. And in the act of predicting the future, you're making that future true. It's unavoidable
Yeah.
at that point.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah,
his, that's crazy.
I love that. That's a sci-fi trope
Yeah.
or thing. I love that because like
Yeah.
as soon as you observe the future, it's already happening. Like
Yeah.
The alchemist and the what is it called? The alchemist and the philosopher's stone is a really good one for people to read because it basically wrestles with that idea. As soon as you observe an alternate timeline that you foresee is the path that you want to take, as soon as you've done that, you've already stepped into it. So it's unavoidable or whatever the word is. So by doing that, you've already kind of like done it. Like
Oh.
when you see it, it's already happening.
And you know what? Reading it now with all this in mind, I think I get it now. So RS is saying like, I've seen the future. That means it's already happening. There's no avoiding it. And H&W, who wants to exist in this purely like hands-off theoretical, says, tell me what you've seen. I gain nothing from running from the truth, no matter how uncomfortable. And RS says, like, yeah, people are gonna die. It's horrible. Great waves drowning worlds, bodies which do not decompose from everything down to the very bacteria has died as well. Machine plagues carving their prediction machines into
Yeah.
moons, which is like,
Yeah.
that's because of you.
Yeah. You fucked up.
But specifically, RS says, your garden destroyed. As the observatory saw it, so it came to pass. I apologize. I was unkind. I was wrong to bring up old hurts. And so that must have been the turning point. This argument must have been the turning point for H&W, I think.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Are you suggesting the final
Fascinating.
shape of the system was destruction for it to be left a blasted ruin? Yeah, so then H&W says, as you say, sometimes an infected wound must be lanced before it can heal. You should not be ashamed of your physician's instincts. I have meditated on your words. I sat in my ship, keeping company with the pain I felt when I saw my worlds burning, that terrible loss. You would prevent such a thing from happening again. You have always wished to protect others from harm, and I honor that, but I have reached a different conclusion from you. As I saw the ruin of my great work, my thoughts traced a different path. If the final shape is the greatest good, then it must be enduring, incontrovertible, self-fulfilling. That my garden could be destroyed suggests that it is not the final shape after all. Perhaps the ships which continue to burn it down understood its final shape better than I. Yeah, that's the
Yeah.
turning point right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was all fucking traveler brain on that, and I'm like, no, now it's not.
Yeah, I like the way this is written out because the beginning really kind of taints how you're going to read the rest of it, and then when you get to the end, you're like, "Oh wait, no,
Yeah.
that's not what happened."
And RS replies, "Are you suggesting that the final shape of that system was its destruction for it to be left at a blasted ruin?" And H&W is like, "Is it not a possibility?"
Yeah.
H&W is claiming the final shape can be anything, and it's almost seeming like H&W might be the reason the Vex got kind of tossed aside, where it's like, "Stop using that fucking observatory and making things happen that we don't want to happen." Like, they could pursue the final shape. If they push it hard enough and they don't check the observatory, they can make it happen. Because at that point, the future is fluid.
Oh yeah. Because if they, as long as they don't peer back into the machine, then they don't know, and they can make it themselves.
And RS replies, "Then what we've seen through the observatory might as well be the final shape too. Suffering and misery, anarchy, endless self-consuming hedonism, utter sterility. How can any of that be considered a greatest good? The core of the final shape is improvement." H&W replies, "Consider the virus, my friend, the parasite, the predator. These things exist only by taking from others." This is like the creation of the darkness
Yeah.
philosophy. "To these
Yeah.
things, improvement may well entail causing greater and greater harm to others, not out of malice, but as a simple fact of existence. When eradicate an illness, are you stamping out a microscopic final shape? Should we care less for the final shape of a disease simply because it is smaller than us or because it does us harm? We have studied our histories. We know what we are capable of, what we have done. What if the nihilist here and here we go. What if the nihilist redolent accepting?" So those are the nihilists. H and
Yep.
RS was a penitent. Here are the nihilists. What if the nihilists are right and our final shape is our own destruction? Are you seriously considering the words of a fringe group of self-flagellating pessimists? This
Yeah,
is pure
yeah.
nihilistic indulgence, abdication evil of responsibility. The existence of past does not invalidate future good. Should we deny that we can do because of what we have done? We of the penitent have asked similar questions and reached our own answer. We have survived unimaginable suffering, even at one another's hands. The gardener, the traveler, encourages our growth and improvement day by day. Who better to understand the struggles and guide them out of the miserable warrens into the light of day? We could help the whole universe to be better than they are, just as we are always striving to be better tomorrow than we are today. We could help them. They will go on to help others. The good we can do compound just as the evil has in the past. H&W replies, "And yet we, the first chosen of the gardener, cannot agree on our own way. The gardener offers us no guidance, no principles with which to use the gifts it gives us, no reassurance for the doubts that plague us, no answers for our questions. Why have we been chosen? Why does the gardener, in its power and wisdom, not achieve perfection itself? If my garden was not meant to be destroyed, why did it not stop the invaders? And why does it allow the gifts to be misused? It did not correct." And here's another one that we haven't seen. "It did not correct the profusion bountiful swarm on their path to their great fatal error. It did not stop the conqueror's primacy sovereign from using their gifts it granted for subjugation. Are we to accept that these two were meant to happen? If you reject the notion that destruction can be a final shape, how are we to accept that the gardener allowed us to make such egregious mistakes?" RS replies, "Even after all these millennia, there is much we don't understand about the gardener. Perhaps we will not understand until we have achieved the final shape for ourselves." H&W. "And when we reach the final shape, will it make sense? Will we all be able to live in the universe where people act as they have always acted for the self-evident good, where evil does not exist because we do not allow it, where all the aligned without suffering or doubt?" RS. "This isn't like you, my friend. I am coming to see you. All will be well." Oh my God. So this is it. That's the moment where H&W is just like, I'm taking over. I'm making a final shape for myself.
Sponge time.
So
Suck it all up.
there's one thing. The rest of this book goes through like other people experiencing the collapse, and Ido finding like, and it's not that it's not important, it's just that like the meat of what we just experienced is like really where it is and really what matters. And one that we kind of glazed over with the Neo whatever is, what was it, Noesis, the Noesis.
The Noesis.
Yeah, specifically how the Noesis were not attacked. They were just like gently euthanized. They were like, hey, it's okay, you know, you we're taking care of it. Sorry that it means your death, but you know, we're putting you to sleep. It's very peaceful. Whereas with the other encounters that we know, the Elixni and ourselves, both of those collapses, whirlwind collapse, were very violent. They were attacks, and the witness attacked in a way that it did not need to. It like it could just go, okay, I win now, but it chose not to. And it's Ido is asking this question as to why.
Why
Why
it
is
hasn't
it,
just snuffed us out. Yeah.
yeah, why
And
hasn't it just snuffed us out?
they kind of leave that up in the air, but they say
Yeah.
basically what was already written in here is that well, we also know that the traveler's here and it's blessed certain entities with the light or the ability to use the light. So that's where the violent incursion happens, is the force beyond, two forces encountering one another. However, to your point of what Ido says, she says, why didn't it just snuff us out? Why can't
Yeah.
it just, just end it all if that's what it wants to do?
And it
But
could.
that's, but yeah, it could. It definitely could. But what does it need to attain before that can happen?
And it seems to be that the witness just wants to cause harm on everything. But here's the thing, 'cause I know we're like at our time, so I just want to squeeze this in just before we take off. To jump all the way to this final entry, or the second to final entry, the final like real meat and potatoes entry, it's another letter from HNW to RS. And my distant friend, I hope you still have your communicator, though our last parting was acrimonious, and it has been many centuries since I have last seen your message alert glimmering in the corner of my vision. I choose to believe you have not cut this last atomic line between us. I compose this message in secret. The rest of the consensus would not understand. They do not know you as I do, did, but they could. It is in that hope that I reach towards you now. My friend, the consensus has won. Yesterday, the penitent voted aye. The nihilists and solipsists have been destroyed. We will exuviate and shepherd the universe to its final shape. We will prune away the dead branches and coax forth with its full potential. Even as I say those words, I feel the old doubts crawling through my thoughts again. But it has been long and longer still since you renounced the consensus and set off into the cosmos. You have not seen the violence that visited our shores, a terrible reflection of an ancient history which we believed was behind us. The Vex, though we are steadfast in our position and would have continued to argue it however long it might take, there were dangerous elements, subversives and defectors. We did not strike first, nor did we choose our response lightly. It had been so long since I wielded pruning shears, I had forgotten how. My hand shook. I could only imagine how you would have looked at me, but it's over now. What has been done is done. They were the last. Now we are all in consensus. I wish to persuade you with words. If I wished to persuade you with words alone, I would not have told you this. You have steadfastly abhorred such measures since they were first proposed. I did not tell you this to shock you or intimidate you, nor would I withhold this truth because I do not seek to persuade you with a lie, even of omission. I tell you this because I respect you. Of everyone I have ever known, you have been the fiercest in your compassion, most keenly aware of the gap between means and ends. If you return, if you join the consensus, I will know your our cause is true, that after all this time, we have finally found the apodictic truth. I will discard myself with no regrets. I do not say this to put my finger on the scale of your decision, only to inform you of the situation. After our exuviation, we will no longer know the shape of your absence. What we are becoming will not be capable of doubt or dissent. It will never have been capable of such things. We will forget our pain, our strife, our petty grudges, our prejudices. It will no longer exist and therefore will never have existed. Do you understand? There is not much time. Now that we are in consensus, our progress is unhindered. The veil unravels before us. The fundamental principles have long hoped we have long hoped for are woven in its threads, and when we have completed this process and thrown off our lesser selves, we will be perfect. Even so, I cannot help but nurture the seed of heresy, the grit which I hope will be subsumed by the pearl, that what we become will be lesser if it is made without you. How could the perfection be lesser, yet the feeling burns in my veins, so I must share it with you. I confess this selfishness. I do not want you to forget. I do not want to forget you. Is there a precursor who's not a part of the witness?
Could be. And that's what I hope we get to find out. So
I would go so far as to say, RS got this message before the witness was created and convinced the traveler to get the fuck out.
That would be awesome.
Right?
Yeah, that would be awesome. Find out next time.
On Loose Cannonball Z.
Well, that was it. Yeah. You did it.
Yeah, we got through this. So I do want to apologize because our hope was to have an episode of just a reading of this lore book to go out last week and then talk about this week. As I mentioned, the work stress being busy, I didn't have the time to do that. And I hope to find the time to do that in the coming week/weeks, just so people who don't have the collector's edition and also don't want to read an image on a screen can just, you know, listen to it while they're at work or something. Cause maybe they'd like that. And if not, then you don't have to listen to it. You know, it's just there. Yeah, forget if you want it. Yeah. it's there. It's there if you want it. And if you don't, that's fine too.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. This is a lot of fun and, oh good. Our next episode would fall on April 21st. The day after Palindrome Day in America.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So,
I palindrome.
Yeah. Yeah. Someday mother will die. That's funny.
On that note,
I haven't listened to that song in forever. You son of a bitch. Well, that's going to end this episode of the They Might Be Giants podcast. We'll see you next time, everybody.
Bye.